Hello, I'm Heidi Peterson with the City of Ames, and today I'm joined by Neil Weiss, Assistant Director of the City of Ames Water and Pollution Control Department. Neil has a bachelor's degree in civil engineering and is working towards a master's degree in construction engineering and management at Iowa State. His passion for environmental engineering started at a young age due to his father's role as a sanitary engineer with Los Angeles County. Neil grew up close by in Jefferson and enjoys seeing the work he is involved with make a difference within the Ames community. Hi, Neil.
Hey, Heidi. How are you doing?
Good. So, Neil, can you tell me a little bit about the Water and Pollution Control Department and your role within it?
Sure. Well, the Water and Pollution Control Department consists of five different divisions. We have the Water Treatment Plant Division, which is our new water plant, as we like to still call it, even though it's that 3.5 to 4 years old now. We have our Water Pollution Control Facility, located southeast of Ames. Our Laboratory Services Division and our Water Meter Division, they're both located just east of the power plant at 300 East 5th Street. And then our final division is the Administration Division, and that's the division that I am a part of. As the assistant director, I really get involved in a lot of aspects of the department. One of the primary roles that I'm involved with is working real closely with our engineering staff and all the engineering functions of the department. Our engineers manage $2 million of projects each year. So I work very closely with them all the way from design, bidding, to the construction services for a lot of these projects in the department. In addition to that, I get involved with the business side of the department as well, dealing with the budget aspects, planning for projects for the future, and also oversee some programs in the department, such as the Smart Water Program.
Very interesting. So can you tell me a little bit about the Smart Water Program and how it got started, and also why it's important for our community?
Sure. Well, we'd have to go back probably to the early 2000s is when it really started. There were some years there where we were seeing some real high water usage, and we were thinking, you know, what could we do to reduce this water usage? And what we really wanted to do was try to educate the public more about water conservation, and that's really when the Smart Water Campaign was launched. So many of you may be familiar with the Smart Water Campaign. We like to post on social media quite a bit at Ames Water, Twitter and Instagram as well, and we're also involved with a lot of different outreach events throughout the summer. In a typical summer, there's probably 10 to 15 different outreach events that we're at. So a lot of times you'll see our display there at those events. And we also have a large water trailer, actually a 300 gallon water trailer that many of you maybe have seen over the years. We've actually had that trailer now for well over a decade. So we've been at a number of different events. The goal of the Smart Water Program, really, as the name implies, is aimed at promoting and encouraging the smart use of water. The program does not simply tell customers they cannot use water, but it rather promotes some of those tips on what they can do as far as watering their lawns or landscaping, or really both aspects inside and outside their homes for water conservation. So ultimately, we hope that the building and maintaining a strong community based around an efficient mindset will ensure a sustainable and healthy future for us all.
So Neil, what are some of the practices the Water and Pollution Control Department is doing that align with smart water and sustainability?
Sure. Well, we try to incorporate both those aspects into a lot of the projects that we do in the department. For example, with the new water treatment plant project, we were going after LEED certification, which is a certification for green building infrastructure. And at the time of design, I believe we were the first in Iowa that were actually going after LEED certification for a water plant. So some of the design aspects that were incorporated into that new water plant, there's some aspects of the site design, as far as the site selection, some habitat restoration that was incorporated into the design. The materials and the resources that were used on the project, there were different design aspects incorporated into the construction waste management. And also some of the site design itself as far as native landscaping, water-efficient landscaping, stormwater features, where we're actually collecting a lot of that stormwater in rain gardens and using it in the plants themselves that are in those rain gardens. So a lot of different aspects that were incorporated into that new water plant project. And another one of the projects that recently got completed, the North River Valley Lowhead Dam. Most people don't know, but that project itself really has a big sustainability aspect. The reason that dam was put in place in the late 70s and was ultimately constructed in 1984 with the concrete dam there, but it was really to hold back water and used to recharge the wells of our downtown well field. So it's really promoting the use of water as much as possible and recharging the aquifer as much as we could from that Lowhead Dam structure. And then moving forward design with the new Lowhead Dam, many aspects of sustainability and conservation as well, as far as incorporating some of those recreational aspects into design, and also looking at the aquatic life and creating a better passage for fish from downstream all the way to upstream. So, you know, those are two of the main projects that come to mind, but really it's something that we think about in every single project that we do in our department.
Well, that's really great to hear. Do you practice sustainability at any of the events that you attend?
Yes, of course. Well, all the events that we attend, we bring our water trailer or our water coolers. So we really try to avoid people from using bottled water. That's something we really try to push. So at many events, you'll see us passing out water bottles, and we really encourage people to use those water bottles and refill it and use Ames water as much as possible. You know, our water's tested over 200 times a day, and we're really proud of our water. It's won many awards throughout the years here in Iowa for the best tasting water. So that's something we really try to push as much as possible here in Ames.
It is great water, and that is great for the environment. So do you have any easy water conservation tips you can provide our listeners that they might be able to do inside of their home?
Of course, there's many conservation tips, and there's some easy ones that you can really do, very simple. But to really look at inside your home, you need to look at where you're using the most water. And toilets are by far one of the highest users of water in a home. I believe it's upwards of 30% of the home's indoor water use is from toilets. So in many older homes, some of the toilets can use as much as 3.5 gallons per flush. So that can add up very fast. So one easy tip, if you have an older toilet that's using those high gallons per flush, you can simply use a plastic water bottle and fill it up and put it inside the toilet tank. That really helps to displace that water, and when that tank fills back up, it's not using all those gallons again to fill back up, so it's displacing that volume. But there's also other alternatives, more expensive alternatives. If you are going to replace your toilet, say it's an older toilet, there are many of these newer toilets that have a WaterSense label, which is an EPA-approved label on these newer toilets that use just a fraction of the gallons per flush that these older toilets use. So anywhere from 20 to 30% more efficient than some of these older toilets. So those are some really easy ways inside your home, specifically for your toilets, that you can do.
Sounds like it can really save a lot of money on your water bill too. So how about leaks around your home?
Yeah, those are something that can really add up to a lot of wasted money throughout the year. One of the best places to check for leaks in your home is to simply go to your water meter, typically in the basement of your home. There's actually a small dial on your water meter, and you'll wanna just take a look at that, take a reading, walk away for 10 or 15 minutes, come back and look at that dial, and if that dial has moved at all, that is really an indication that you have leaks somewhere throughout your home. So there are some common places that we see leaks in homes, and one of the most common is the toilet again. So typically it's the rubber flapper in the backside of your toilet that we'll see that breaks down over time. Those would really be replaced every 2 to 3 years. But there's ways you can test for that. There's leak detection tabs that we actually have at the water treatment plant. You can stop by here and get them anytime. But those can be placed in the backside of your toilet. And if you see any of that dye move to the bowl of your toilet, that's an indication that flapper has failed and your toilet's actually leaking. And a leaking toilet can add up to a couple hundred gallons of water wasted per day, which could be huge savings on a monthly basis or on a yearly basis. There's also other areas such as faucets around your home or shower heads. Those are also very common places that you can see leaks. Just that constant drip throughout the day can add up to, you know, tens and tens of gallons a day wasted in water. So your hardware store would have a lot of these simple fixes for faucets and shower heads. You know, one of the most common faucets leaks is just worn out washers and gaskets. And you can find repair kits for faucets at your local hardware store for less than $20 typically. So just some minor fixes, but over time, they can add up to quite a bit in savings throughout the year.
Hmm. Are there other areas of the home, such as maybe the bathroom or kitchen, where you could provide easy tips for water conservations rather than fixing things?
Sure. There's some very easy things you can do, such as, you know, when you're brushing your teeth or shaving, you know, simply just being mindful and shutting off the tap. You know, that can save upwards of 10 gallons, you know, if you're shaving for a couple minutes, or say you're brushing your teeth two times a day for, you know, a couple minutes each. Both of those could save up to 10 gallons if you just simply shut the tap off. So it's really just being mindful about those everyday activities that you do. Also looking at in the bathroom, taking a shower instead of a bath. A bath can use upwards of 70 gallons of water, where a typical shower lasting that 6 to 7 minutes uses, you know, just around 20 gallons of water. So you can save somewhere around 50 gallons of water just choosing to take a shower instead of a bath. There, in the kitchen, there's many things you can do as well for trying to save water. One of the biggest things would be to simply not be washing off your dishes prior to putting them in the dishwasher. You know, using your tap to wash the dishes and pre-wash them, on average, that can use close to 20 gallons of water. So just being mindful of that, and also running your dishwasher only when it's full throughout the week. So trying to run it only once or twice a week rather than just running it with half loads. That's ultimately wasting a lot of water.
So Neil, how about water conservation outside of your home? Do you have any simple tips to conserve water during the summer?
Sure, of course. This is really, you know, a common question that we get this time of year. And one of the big questions or most common questions we get is, how much water does my lawn need? And what we really try to promote is 1 inch of water per week is really what your lawn in the Iowa environment would need. It's real important to not overwater your yard, because you really want those roots of your grass to grow as deep as possible. And if you are overwatering, that allows those roots to not really grow very deep and not make your lawn as drought resistant as it could be if you're sticking to that 1 inch of water per week. Another key point is to not water your lawn during the middle of the day. You can see a lot of evaporation if you're trying to water when the sun's shining and it's at the hottest point of the day, and you're really not getting the total benefit of watering your lawn at that time because it's really evaporating before it even gets to the roots of the grass.
So what is the best time that you would recommend?
What we like to typically recommend is that early morning, say 6 a.m. to about 9 a.m. is really the ideal time to water your lawn. Another good option is to incorporate things such as rain barrels or rain gardens in your home's yard. Those are two really good options to capture that rainwater and use it in the future for watering your grass or plants around your home. So both those options, the city does have rebates for those, so that's something that you should definitely incorporate and go out and look on our City of Ames webpage for those rebates.
Oh, very neat. Is there any recommended length that you should keep your grass?
Yeah, the length of your grass does play into water conservation. If you are mowing your grass too short, that can really play an advantage to how much water your lawn will take. So if you're, you know, leaving your mower deck to that 3 inches or greater, that can really promote those taller, deeper roots. That allows it to shade the roots of the system and really allows it to hold more moisture than that shorter grass length. So that's another key point that can really play into your overall yard's health and also the amount of water it takes for your yard.
Are there certain plants that are better than others to help conserve water?
Yeah, you know, there is. There's a lot of plants that are native to Iowa, and if you go to your local nursery, they can definitely point you in the right direction. But typically these are the prairie grasses and other native Iowa grasses that really need a lot less water than those other plants that aren't native to Iowa. So those are a great addition to your homes, plantings around your home, that can really help you save a lot of water over the entire summer.
So it sounds like really knowing your yard and your plants' needs can make sure you are not overwatering. So what are some of the benefits to residents if they take into consideration some of these tips you're providing?
Yeah, well, for one, it can just really help our environment overall by conserving water. Also, there's, you know, the money aspect. If you're doing a lot of these tips around the home, you can save a good amount of money on your water bill throughout the entire year. So if you incorporate some of these tips inside your home, such as some of these WaterSense approved faucets and toilets, doing some of these simpler procedures as far as, you know, shutting off the tap when you're brushing your teeth, or not using the faucet for washing off dishes and just trying to use your dishwasher instead, on average that can help you save on that 15-20% of your water bill per year. So that can be a big benefit to residents, and that's one that really hits home with a lot of people and really makes them start thinking about this more than they did in the past.
So it sounds like taking little steps to conserve can really add up to some big results. So I briefly heard you say that there was some rebates that the city offers. Can you tell us where we can find those?
Sure, there are a number of rebates that the City of Ames offers. The best place to find them is just to simply go to our website, cityofames.org, and search rebates. And yeah, like you said, Heidi, there's rain barrel rebates that we talked about. There's the rain garden rebates, native landscaping, soil quality, composting rebates. So yeah, just a number of them that could be very beneficial to saving water and saving money ultimately. One of the rebates I'd like to highlight that I actually took advantage of this past year was the soil quality restoration rebate. And that's actually where you would go through and aerate your yard, and then you spread about 2 inches of compost over that, and then actually go over that compost and seed your yard. And at the time, I had sod that was very patchy, and it was about a year old at the time. And it's amazing this year how it's come back to life, and your lawn just really loves that compost and some of the organic nutrients in that compost. And, you know, that has just been a great program, and I look forward to doing it again in coming years. But that's one that I'd hope everyone goes and takes a look at. There's just many rebates out there that people don't even know about, but can really help you to save water and ultimately save money.
So is there anything else you'd like to share about the Smart Water campaign or conservation practices?
You know, like you said, it's a lot of little things over time that can really add up to these big savings. So just being mindful of your everyday actions inside your home and outside your home in your yard can play some big impacts on saving water and saving money. I advise everyone to go and take a look at our Facebook page at Ames Water. We're constantly posting conservation tips, especially this time of year coming in the summer. We'll be having a lot of posts that are focused on water conservation. So go check us out there. We're also on Twitter and Instagram at Ames Water. So yeah, feel free to check us out. If you have any questions, you can give us a call anytime at the Ames Water Plant. The number is 239-5150. Thank you.
Well, great. Thank you so much, Neil. Thank you for your time, for giving us all these really helpful tips.
Thanks, Heidi.